Welcome back to Quiver the Green Arrow Podcast. This is our 23rd episode for the season finale, Sacrifice.
Sad.
I am one of your hosts, Michael Cohen.
I'm your other host, Amanda Konkin.
And we're late, and we're not in the format that we promised we would be, but we're here, and you guys will like it, because it's all you're going to get for now. I have to apologize. I came down with a pretty bad cold. I might sound half okay right now, but as the episode goes on, I'll deteriorate. And then I'll either leave the room or I'll just clear my throat here in a very unprofessional manner. And then I'll sound okay again.
You do kind of sound bad. You sound a little bit groggy.
I do sound... So. It's my Batman voice, right? It is. Like, swear to me!
I got to sleep in on Saturday.
It's kind of nice. That's why our Google Hangout didn't happen. We will do a Google Hangout. We have to figure out how we can make that special now. Yeah. It's not the season finale, but we're going to do one. So rest assured, you guys will have your opportunity to interact with us live, which I know that some people were really looking forward to. So that's coming. It'll happen. We have many months now to fill.
Yeah,
between now and a season premiere. Mm-hmm. So,
and I mean, I saw people on the Facebook page lamenting the fact that we are recording, I think, very ceremoniously on a Wednesday evening. And I think that if you ever want something to do when you feel like you have a neglect for Arrow, is you just come and record a Quiver podcast on the following Wednesday after the season finale and talk about it.
There I am clearing my throat already. I'll say, I'm okay with Arrow being done for the season because MasterChef is on. So it'll happily take the place on Wednesday nights that Arrow was filling previously for me, because MasterChef is one of my favorite shows. So if anybody wants me to do MasterChef podcast episodes, you know, maybe I'll just do that. Amanda probably doesn't want to join me for that, but
I barely like cook my own food. Why would I want to watch other people cook food? That just seems like the opposite.
I think that's the thing that I love the most about MasterChef, is that when I watch it, I'm a picky eater. I'm the worst. Like, I only eat certain things, but I watch MasterChef and I'll see them cook something and I'm like, what is fennel and would I like it? And so it challenges me to get out and try new things. Mm. And also as I cook, because I do most of the cooking in the house, to try new things. So I highly recommend MasterChef because of all of the reality shows that you can be watching. There are two that I feel like are very positive reality shows, and that's MasterChef and So You Think You Can Dance.
I love So You Think You Can Dance.
Which both come on during the summer. Yeah. And I just feel like... So You Think You Can Dance, they're very critical, and they're very
virtuosic,
but they're also very positive. Mm-hmm. When somebody does something well or improves in some way, mm-hmm. they'll say it. And when they give critiques, they're giving critiques to help you improve. And I feel like MasterChef's very similar. Like, when somebody excels, they're right there to say, like, when Gordon Ramsay, who we've all seen Hell's Kitchen and Kitchen Nightmares and all the other things that he does.
Have we all seen those shows?
Well, I think it's in the pop culture zeitgeist, right? So everybody knows. Mm-hmm. Gordon Ramsay likes to yell at people. But when he tells you that that's one of the best whatever that he just, that he's ever had, mm-hmm. It's very positive and mm-hmm. it's very affirming. And then when he tells you that was disappointing, it's like when your parents are disappointed in you, right? Like, it's just, I don't know, if you're going to watch reality TV, which I don't watch a lot of.
Which we don't condone on a regular basis.
Yeah, exactly. But if you want to, if that's an itch that you feel like you need to scratch, I think that those are two shows where you can do it, right? Because it's not about the one mean judge saying something snarky because, you know, you were a little bit flat on that one note, but you sing better than half of the people on the planet, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's just, it's absurd how some of those shows go.
I'm excited for The Newsroom to come back this summer.
Does it come back this summer?
I love The Newsroom. Well, it's a summer show.
I guess it was a summer show.
Because everything's ending. Doctor Who just ended this weekend, and Game of Thrones only has two episodes left, which, if you're not watching it, I don't understand how you can...
There's a 1 week break, though. There's no episode this Sunday, but then there's the following 2 weeks.
don't understand why they would do that. There's only 10 episodes a season. Why put a break in it? Just run for 10 weeks straight. But
I'm sure they have a reason.
Yeah, of course they have a reason.
I think they might be playing that Liberace series or something.
Anyways, lots of there are some good shows for you to be watching in the summer. And catching up on stuff. I really awesome. People are watching Smallville. I know some people are catching up on, which is cool. And there are some familiar faces. People were pointing that out, that Amy Adams is in the first season of Smallville.
Oh,
and there's a few, there's people that you'll go through, which is really exciting because she's obviously, as people know or should know,
I never thought about that.
She's Lois
before.
Lane in Man of Steel. So.
I did know that Amy Adams is in an episode, right? But I didn't really think of the fact that she's already a Superman alone.
Yeah, which is really
Funny.
Yeah.
That's cool. That's really
and totally different character. So if you're interested in seeing Amy Adams on Smallville, it's very sort of
that's kinda weird. Like that's awesome because that's kinda like Annette O'Toole having been Lana Lang in Superman 3 and then being Martha Kent in Smallville. That's really cool. I'm so excited for Man of Steel.
Yeah.
That I'm gonna get to the email then. Because Mel Jones writes in to say, oh my god, they killed Tommy. You bastards. So that's his, it's a bit of a dated reference, but for those of us who do recall South Park, I think it's still airing. Like, it's still
it's
new episodes,
still on,
but
yeah.
I don't know that anybody watches it.
Oh,
I could be wrong, but
my friends made me try to watch it. It's, anyways.
But we are so clearly above that sort of thing.
Well, I've no, they
we
try
don't
to watch
reality TV, and we don't watch South Park.
I actually have friends.
Man, I'm being elitist this week.
But South Park apparently is really good. People keep telling me to watch it. But anyways, let's.
Mel says, "Hey guys, I've got three words for my thoughts about the finale. Oh my god!" And that's all in all caps. And I would emphasize more, but I can't really. That was the best episode on television I've seen since the Smallville finale, which is something that I think I posted that on Facebook in the group or on Facebook in general after I watched it. It was the same sentiment that, like, I can't remember a finale having that much impact. Maybe I texted it.
You did. You texted it to me.
Texted it to Amanda.
Yeah.
That, like, the Smallville season 10 finale is the only other thing that I can think, like, it was that epic. It had that much scope.
Yeah.
Not to use an overused word, but that was epic. My only issue with this episode was the scene when the police went after Malcolm. When he tried to run away, they fired at him. The police in the U.S. don't do that unless the suspect presents a danger or draws his weapon. With that out of the way, the scene with Tommy nearly brought me to tears, though I'm not sure he's really dead. I can't wait to see how it all pans out next season. I don't know what I'm going to do with the 1 hour of TV time I allot myself every week on Wednesday nights. I guess I can make up for it when Man of Steel comes out. I hope you guys have a great summer. Thanks for the hours of great podcasting every week. Sincerely, Mel Jones. He says, P.S. Let it be mentioned in the group that there is a chance that Malcolm will become Merlin instead of Tommy. We'll see as the seasons play out. So I think, like, that's a good point, is that I think what they've opened up for is that Malcolm is Merlin. They're not going to do the switcheroo thing on us, which, like, we didn't think it was going to happen, and then we did think it was going to happen, and then
I did not see them killing Tommy off.
No.
It just, because that would
spoilers,
have been,
by the way.
Oh, well, no, you have to have,
I know.
Don't be listening to this podcast. Yeah. But, like, that's the thing, is that it would have been such a great cliche, and I'm jumping ahead, because we can totally talk about this when we're actually watching it, but the cliche that they should have done is that the Arrow needed Laurel's dad's help, Laurel's dad went to help, he died, Laurel will never forgive the Green Arrow, right? Like, this, that is how it should have played out. But instead, the dad is fine, and then Tommy comes back and rescues her because he loves her and saves her life, and then, like, that is just not at all, like, how does that play out for good, like, cliche drama? It doesn't. We have to, like, it's not something totally new.
But that's the wonderful thing about the show, is that it's not good cliche drama.
I know, it's just...
it's this fresh, new stuff. Like, it is just... we've said it before. I say it a lot. I watch a lot of TV.
Yeah.
It's very difficult to catch me unawares, like, to catch me by surprise.
Yeah.
In the 5 years that I was... you know, doing commentary on Clone Wars, they only ever got me a handful of times with real genuine surprise. But this series has done it multiple times in the first season. I think, if anything, the worst thing about Arrow is that I don't know how they're going to do a second season, or a third season, or a fourth season, or a fifth season, mm-hmm. and just keep ratcheting it up without it, like, eventually just turning into a movie every week.
Right?
The cleverness of writing in this first season, I just don't know. I don't know that I've seen a lot of shows, and I'm sure that there are other shows out there that can do that sort of thing and that have done that sort of thing. And I'm sure that our listeners will have lots of things that they can cite. But man, I mean, even really cool off the wall shows like Dexter and you know, a lot of HBO stuff hasn't been able to, even The Newsroom, which is an amazing show, but went in very predictable directions, especially if you know Sorkin, right?
Yeah,
like if you know his shows, then you know his beats and where he's going.
Yeah.
But with Arrow, it just, like, they killed Tommy.
Yeah,
like they killed Tommy. Just... Like, I yelled at the screen. Yeah, I was sitting here by myself. Amanda didn't come over that night because we were going to record on Saturday. Mm-hmm. And so I watched it by myself. And I screamed at the screen because I was like, I can't believe they just did that.
No.
Like, the guts. So, I don't know. You think, along with Mel, that maybe he's not dead?
I think it would be... I just don't understand how you... The thing is, Kay, it's the thing that I hate about everything when they do this. And we were talking about... Oh, I don't want to spoiler any other movies or things like that. But there's things where you kill someone and you know that they're not dead.
Yeah.
Like... You just know that they're not dead and they're going to come back, so it takes away some of the gravitas of the situation. But with this, it's gonna see if Tommy's really dead.
Yeah.
That means stakes are there for all characters, totally. Which proves it. But the the entertainment lover in me wants Tommy to come back because he's a character I love, and I'm like, oh, but he's going to be in a coma or something, and he's going to be fine. But then that makes the stakes not as high.
It's a
cheap trick, and it pulls on your heartstrings, and then you don't know what to do about it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't know what they'll do with this show, because I just have no... And I don't know what I would like more, right? I kind of think I would have a lot of respect for them if they kept Tommy dead and kind of made that choice to be this sort of... It just would...
To be the, like, CW show that kills one of the pretty boys in the first season.
Yeah, it just...
And just keeps going. Just moves on from there.
Yeah.
And, like, that's just a footnote in the history of the show.
Yeah.
I think it would really cheapen it to bring him back next season.
Yeah.
For him to be in a coma.
Yeah, or something. Yeah, it would.
Something
it would
else,
be,
right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that it really does raise the stakes.
Mm-hmm.
On everything.
Mm-hmm.
That and the moment when, I mean, you think that Detective Lance is going to die.
Oh, God.
He manages to disarm the device, and then...
There's this... Like, that like, all, was brilliant!
Like, it's that thing of, like, every time with the villain, you're like, why didn't you just build two?
Yeah.
Why didn't you just put bombs in multiple places?
Yeah.
And the first time that it was kind of not brought to the attention of the audience, but sort of like a movie acknowledged that was in The Dark Knight.
Yeah.
Where the Joker had plans where he's like, you can't do two things at once. And he would put the character, like, put Batman in those positions. And for this one, it was like, come on, if there's anything I've learned from business, it's you always have to have redundancy. And it's like, that's... Like, the line is perfect.
Brilliant.
It's just genius. Yeah. And then we get all of the great feelings of, they did it, they saved the day.
Yeah.
But we also get that sick pleasure that we have as human beings of, like, oh my God, they destroyed the glades.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing that I was really hoping, of all the predictions we made, like, them destroying the glades was what they needed to do. Like, they needed to do it in some way, but this show did such a perfect job of letting us feel that exhilaration of saving at least some... Like, trying to save it and sort of saving part of the glades.
Well, cake and eat it,
Too, right? It's like, just brilliant, because they needed to destroy... They did. And it's just setting up all of these interesting, amazing things for next year, and... All of the characters, I just like,
it creates the comic analogy is No Man's Land, which that's when they kind of blew up Gotham City.
Hmm.
And And it became, which is a little bit of what Dark Knight Rises was based around. Like, it was that sort of idea. That was kind of what they were riffing on. And that's, I think that's what they're riffing on here, is that idea that, like, you destroy the infrastructure of a city, mm-hmm. but you still have that urban environment, mm-hmm. and you have people who lived there or need to live there, and so they have to find a way to survive.
Yeah.
And that puts people in desperate situations, which means the second that somebody's in a desperate situation, somebody will take advantage, which is a perfect breeding ground for scum and villainy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's the best way. The entire first season of this series was setting up the rest of the series.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So now every time they want to have a villain show up, they have this fertile playground with which to do it, because you're not going to solve the problem of multiple city blocks being devastated over the course of the 3 months between now and next season.
Yeah.
You're not going to do it over the course of season two. You're not going to do it over the course of a couple seasons. It's going to be something that hangs over Starling City for the rest of this series. Mm-hmm. It's going to define what Arrow is and how this world works.
Yeah.
And that, like, you can see how far out these guys have it planned, mm-hmm. and how clever they've been about just making it the whole first season.
Yeah.
And also, like, just with the flashbacks everything that they've done so far, it just tells me that this is gonna go down as one of the best superhero shows ever. And as much as we currently match it up against Smallville as a benchmark, I mean, when your season one finale is on par with the season, so the series finale of Smallville, the benchmark now, right? It's almost, they've almost surpassed it in a way, because they've done it so quickly. But there's been a little bit of conversation on the Facebook group, a little bit of worry that you go so far so fast, what are they going to do now? Nice. Where do you go from here?
Yeah.
So,
well, and that, I mean, we'll throw a little bit of news in there, whatever, season finale of our podcast too,
yeah.
that people are thinking, looking at season two, and we know that there's certain main characters.
Yeah.
I couldn't, so, We've already established Colton Haynes coming back, and Emily Brett Rickards is coming back. But this idea that they're talking about what kind of villains they're going to set up as well, and that they're going to have established DC villains coming in, and possibly two, I think, is what they're talking about, is really setting this up to have an overarching theme throughout the next series or next season. And I'm really, I think that the woman with the legs from last season is going to be our villain for next year.
Absolutely.
Like, that's just right, and it's going to be someone that is an established DC character,
which I'm psyched about. I'm psyched that we're getting a female villain as a big bad, as the term that's been used to describe these new villains that they're bringing in. I think that's really cool, and I think that normally I wouldn't sort of like dog ear that as something noteworthy, but because it's on this show, because they've had such awesome female characters, it's going to be, we've already gotten kind of a femme fatale feel from the character, but
with her legs,
that's like a film noir homage,
so
that's all right, and that's where the femme fatale comes from.
Yeah.
So that's what I say, that's what I mean, is it's already got that little bit of a thing to it, but it won't end there. Because, like, we know the quality that these guys, that the writers are going to bring to it. And so that means that we're going to get a fleshed out, interesting, dynamic female villain, which I think is something that, I mean, honestly, when I think about it, Buffy's really the only series that's been able to do it.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, I can't really think of anybody else, any other series that's really had an awesome female villain.
Terminator. Sarah Connor Chronicles was sort of... She was sort of...
She was alright, but she was kind of one-dimensional.
Yeah,
I mean, and intentionally so, because...
Yeah, because she was...
Robot. So, spoiler alert for a series that was cancelled a few years ago. But, yeah.
It's,
it, It's that promise of it being like that multi-layered thing that we've gotten so far in this series. I just feel like there's just a lot of room for them to do awesome stuff.
Yeah.
And so I anticipate them doing awesome stuff. And surprising us, right?
And you know what I love? I love that we get sort of like a mini show within a show here. Yeah. Because we have totally talked about the now, Arrow's universe now, like Ollie's universe now. But the island was pretty awesome too.
Yes.
And we get Slade and Shadow coming back. And there's really awesome things happening. This is cool. We get basically two season finales in one show. And it's pretty awesome. Because now we get both of those worlds coming back next year. Which is really cool. Right? Yeah. The idea that the island is not done. That's not... That wasn't resolved, really. Like,
Is Matthew Bennett series regular?
I don't know. And season? I will try to look it up in the midst of us doing this. Okay. I tried to find who the series regulars are. And I was having a hard time.
Like a full list.
Because I want to know if... if we're gonna get Tommy next year. I couldn't tell.
You know what? If he is coming back for next year, I don't think they'd be silly enough to reveal that.
They wouldn't.
Until the last possible moment.
Yeah.
So we'll have to wait and see on that, I think. I think it's gonna be a little while before we find out. I think, you know what, we'll probably have a definitive answer by Comic-Con. If they have an Arrow panel at Comic-Con, which they did last year, so I think they will this year. Because they did last year in anticipation of being,
an awesome show, a good show.
Mm-hmm. And hopefully having a hit on their hands. Coming off of being the highest rated show on the network, and not just a fan favorite, but also critically acclaimed.
Yeah,
I think that they're gonna go into Comic-Con with some awesome stuff for us to see.
Well,
they've already started work on season two. They don't start filming until July.
Mm-hmm.
But Stephen Amell is doing promo shoots, all the CW promo shoots. He was posting on Facebook today that he and his cousin, who's going to be on the Tomorrow People. Which they're pairing it with, so it's going to be back-to-back Amells on Wednesday nights.
Whoa, cool.
In the 2013-14 season.
That's good marketing. Back-to-back Amells.
I'm interested to see what this Tomorrow People show is all about. Mm-hmm. I haven't gotten the chance to look at the trailer yet. There's a lot of really cool series coming out next season, so...
Yeah.
But we're ready to...
Yeah, let's dive right in here. I'm excited. We'll that'll be one of our summer things is updating who's going to be main characters and things like that for next season and figuring out.
Well, and after Comic-Con happens, we'll come back and we'll talk about the Comic-Con panel and everything.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
We are starting the episode now.
Yay! Well, we're not going to see this intro for a very long time. It'll be so sad. Did you forget to turn the subtitles on?
I did. There's time. There's time. I can do this.
It's okay. We can still can see them yelling things.
No,
it's just
I hit the wrong
previously
button.
On. We're failing at technology. We got through, 23 podcasts doing this properly. And
it's the first time I've forgotten to put the
first time we forgot. And yeah.
There we go. Oh, no.
And you can survive this. So this is like
this was good. I needed this.
Yeah,
they gave us
the
full refresher on exactly what happened on the boat because it's been a long time since we saw that. So yeah, like I really needed it to see to remember exactly what the sequence of events was.
Right.
Of Oliver kind of passes out.
Yeah.
He shoots the guy and then he puts the gun to his head and kills himself. And it goes right into.
Is there some sort of lackey in the room that splashes Oliver? That's crazy.
I don't think so. No, he was there by himself.
Is he there by himself? Oh,
yeah.
He was just walking.
That is far too complicated.
Yes, that's what I was hoping.
How complicated is it that he's still alive and he knows that Oliver is the vigilante?
Well, that is super. That is super complicated. No, he does have lackeys. Isn't there a bunch of people that Oliver has to kill? There's a bunch of people
later.
Oh,
not right this second though.
I thought that I don't know. It just the guy that was walking.
Not until he gets out of the chains.
Yeah.
So. We're at Merlin's monologuing.
Yeah.
No,
to 5 years of hell, this is Ollie sort of talking at their... They're talking at each other.
Yeah.
I
just mean monologuing in the sense that like he's
yeah.
explaining all of his motivations and everything. But
I don't understand why he didn't just kill him. I guess is it because he knows that it's complicated? That I guess that's it.
I think, like all good villains, he thinks that he's on the right side, and so he wants to. He's trying to turn him, right?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That's. It's. I don't know. It's really. John Barrowman does a really good job of being this sort of dark guy, which is kind of cool. Because I wasn't sure what to expect from him coming on the show, because I'm used to him being sort of a lot lighter.
Lighthearted but this, and fun.
Like, he was scary. Like, the scene with Tommy is very sort of intense, and you get a lot from him in this, and you really sort of see his struggle, which is kind of interesting, and you see this desperation and understand why he is doing the things that he's doing. Which was something that I think we talked about in the last episode, was that I felt like his motivation was sort of really veiled, and you didn't really understand why he would go to such extreme lengths to avenge his wife or whatever. But, I mean, I sort of can see it more in this episode, that he's crazy. He's gone crazy.
Well, I think you have a bit of the Howard Hughes thing, right?
Yeah.
Where he's got so much money
that
when she dies, and, I mean... Yeah. He's very responsible.
Yeah.
He's very, very responsible. Like, when he plays the recording for Tommy,
and
you hear, like, that's... He was ignoring his phone. We know that. He's very responsible, and he feels that way. He kind of should.
Yeah.
And when you have that much money and you're that detached from reality,
yeah.
I think it's easy for you to go looking for answers, and he becomes the Dark Archer, right?
Yeah, this is really cool. So we've got Ollie and Chateau and Manu Bennett. What Slade? There you go. I love some of them. I called Tommy Tommy and then Paul Blackthorne when I was explaining about it. Anyways. But they're sort of kicking a lot of butt on the island. I really enjoyed the island stuff. It was sort of this interesting. I like that the missile doesn't automatically kill, like shoot, that it takes time for it to get up to the plane very realistically, which is kind of cool. And that they have time to sort of go against things, because the stakes were very real, and this is the coolest thing that he has ever done, shimming up this chain and just breaking it with his body. Like, this was one of the coolest things I've ever seen him do. Like, he just...
The look on his... Just the performance. Just the look on his face of, like, are you ready for this? Because this is going to hurt.
Oh, he's just so
And then
boring.
You see it, and, like, it was visceral. Like, I felt it when he hit the ground.
Yeah, oh. Gosh, ugh. And then he just sort of destroys these people with the chain. Like, this is just a great... There was no arrows, really, in this one.
No, as he much doesn't as need
he
the
does,
bow.
He doesn't use the bow a lot in here, in this episode. On either ways, right? The when he does use the bow, it's very specific. Because
he
would have
been
island,
fine. He would have been fine. Tiggles there.
But, yeah, it's true.
I love that.
It's
I good. Take back every joke I ever made about you sticking that tracker in your boot.
I don't remember, did he actually make a
I don't think
a
he ever did.
He did,
it was
but
sort
just
of
like,
behind the scenes.
Which is kind of cool.
Jokes, but.
It's kind of cool. So, this is cool that Felicity is still, they're still working, which I think is really cool, right? They didn't just sort of shut down, and I really like Felicity in this episode, too. I'm trying to figure out what street corner that was. Dude, there's like a statue outside of it.
Yeah.
It's really dynamic. I want to find out where
I tried to place it as well. I think it might actually be over by where I work.
Oh, nice. But it's, it seems...
The turnaround. That building's familiar. The waffle building behind.
Yeah.
So I'm sure that we'll find it.
We'll figure
find
it out. But this is what I was waiting for last episode, the Felicity and...
Yeah, she's caught and, red-handed.
Yeah, which is really cool. And she does a great... I teach interview skills, or debate skills, and one of them is about asking leading questions, and I'm just going to say... What do you call computer hacking? And I just think that she just fell right into this, like, trap, which obviously... She's just so cute. I love Felicity. She's one of my favorites, I think.
But this is super important to establish the ongoing relationship with Detective Lance.
Yeah.
And he's got the phone, but now he also has somebody else to go through.
Yeah, oh, that's cool. Yeah, so that he can be connected to the... Yeah. Oh, that's really cool. I didn't even think about it that way now.
Some
that
face-to-face
knows.
Interaction.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool. They're going to be a good team. And I'm just so happy that they didn't kill him off. My gosh. It's going to
be epic. They can't
epic.
Because he's... But, in a few minutes, what you get is essentially that, you know, he's the only cop that's going to be able to work with the vigilante. As much as he started off very much on the opposite end of that spectrum at the beginning of the season, at this point now... He's starting to realize that
That he is a hero.
Yeah, well, he is a hero, and that together they can can actually make a difference. Yeah. Whereas, like, when his chief or whatever tells him to stand down or whatever.
Yeah, that he's not helping. Yeah. It's pretty awesome. I'm really glad that what they're going to do is they're going to, I totally used this reference before, but they're going to Roswell him, and they're going to make him be like the antagonist in the first season, but he's actually going to be helping them in the second and third season.
Yeah.
Which is good. So this is the line, right? Felicity says what we're all thinking, right? The idea that the vigilante is a hero, and I think that she's going to really help ground.
I'm just going to put this the sacrifice counter. Mm-hmm. There's one.
One thing of sacrifice.
They say sacrifice a lot in this
episode. Maybe it's a thinly veiled theme this week. Instead it of is being...
a very... It's not a thinly veiled theme. It's a slap you in the face theme. But that's okay.
Yeah. Who'd have thunk it was Tommy who was the one that sacrificed? I'm crying. I almost cried in the midst of me saying that to you. I'm going to cry on the podcast. Oh, it's going to be so sad. I'm excited to watch. Isn't that cool? I'm really excited to watch this episode again and talk about it. And I'm like, I can't wait to get to the end. And it's so good. Because Tommy just does... You still think that he's sort of antagonistic at the beginning of this episode. The show is so brilliant. You still think that he might become bad or that he has a
potential. Yeah. Well, because they play out the cliche until the last possible second. Yeah. And then they spin it around. And then you're like, you guys are so sneaky.
And this is just because it's brilliant because he's here and you would think that he would become all bitter and jaded and not love her anymore and save himself. But instead, he totally sacrifices himself for her. So sad. Anyways, we're talking over them going, your dad is bad, and him going, I don't believe you.
There's
a lot of talking heads in this episode.
I love the aspect of this conversation where Oliver establishes with him, dude, you're not on the same level that I'm on right now. Like, you are having an emotional fit right now. Like, you're throwing a temper tantrum at me.
Yeah.
I'm trying to save the city.
Yeah.
Get on board or get out of my way. Yeah. Right? Like, so he gives him the opportunity to say, like, your dad's the one behind this. He's planning on unleveling the Glades. And which is the opportunity for Tommy to go, are you serious? What do we do?
Mm-hmm.
Right? But instead, his reaction is, don't talk about my father. And, you know, I mean, he's drunk.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But it's a great dynamic
conversation
for them to have.
Yeah.
Where, as opposed to Oliver just being very reactionary to it. And instead, like, he dodges him. Tommy falls. And then he kneels down and he just lays it out for him. He's like, look, this is the situation. I'm sorry that things are playing out the way that they are. I really wish that we could work this out, but clearly you're not okay with stuff.
Yeah.
I have more important things to deal with right now, though. Yeah. And he just kind of leaves it there, right?
Yeah. And this is the thing that's always the case in a superhero show, that the ones that are the most compelling or that they have these arcs are the ones that are just regular people. And the great thing that comes out of this... sorry, we're back on the island just talking over, but, you know, missiles and...
They're reprogramming the thing so that it doesn't block the
board. Is that Tommy never... became a good guy, and he never became a bad guy. He just sort of was Tommy. And
he's
made human choices that dictated how he acted and who he acted with, just he was driven by his own feelings and emotions, but he understood them in a rational context. Yeah. He didn't become a caricature. No. He didn't become this sort of tool that was used to manipulate Ollie. He just was Oliver's best friend that found out he was this hero and then loved this girl and... made some bad choices, and then...
Well, and if at any point his actions seemed a little bit over-dramatic, you have to remember that he was established at the beginning of the season as being a very emotionally stunted, emotionally arrested individual because of everything that happened with his mom and because his father was distant. So when we pick him up at the beginning of the season, he's still very much what Oliver was before he left, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then over the course of the season, I think he's been trying to catch up to Oliver a little bit.
Yeah.
And so there's a little bit of a growing pain going on there.
Yeah.
And so when you start to put it into that overall context in the whole season, you can see where the points where Tommy's kind of a little bit of a CW drama character. It worked for his character. It made sense for him. At no point was it ever tired for that character to act that way. It made sense within that the world that they've set up and the context that they put that character in.
Yeah.
So now we've got Detective Lance sort of throwing down and saying, like, look, something's going down. People are in trouble. We need to work with the vigilante in order to stop this. Well, because he's seeing the
shades of gray here, right? Yeah. This idea that laws are there to save people, and if they don't work anymore, then there's something wrong with those laws, right? Which is just really interesting because he was a very sort of cut and dry character.
Really black.
Yeah, in the beginning. And I think that that's really interesting that the vigilante... Yeah. I think that they're going to balance each other out really nicely in a way that Diggle sort of balanced out Ollie as well. I think that that's really... He just needs a lot of people to sort of balance him out and that the vigilante sees the opposite in him, which is nice and useful. Is she packing away Walter's things or her husband's?
Her things. She's packing away her own things because she knows what she's going to do later.
Oh, really?
I think so.
Oh, that...
Oh, no, wait, no, not... No, because no. They're leaving because of the Undertaking.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. They're leaving because of the Undertaking. Yeah, right, she's... That makes sense.
They're taking off. They're leaving Starling City.
Oh, I didn't know that. Did I miss that in the last episode?
She never said it. This was kind of her moment to tell all of her.
Oh, okay.
But instead, he confronts her, and he really tips his hand a little bit here and says... He essentially says to her, look, I'm the vigilante.
Yeah.
Malcolm is the Dark Archer... And
yeah,
stuff's gonna go down pretty soon. Yeah. Like we need to deal with this and stop it from happening.
Yeah. Which is cool. Moira sort of steps up. I didn't expect that either.
No,
it was really. Again,
it's gonna be interesting to see what the repercussions of that next season are gonna be.
It's interesting,
especially after it goes off.
Yeah,
like once it goes off and all of those people are dead,
then she's
now
the
she's
one.
Responsible. She's. Yeah. She's the person that they can hold accountable because I don't, like, we don't really know what happened to Malcolm.
Yeah, yeah. Right? So, I didn't even think about that. Everybody's going to hold her responsible. That's crazy.
Because she came out and she admitted to it, right?
Wow. Wow, she's going to be in jail for a long... This is how he's an orphan! He doesn't have a mom anymore because she's in jail.
Yeah, but she's rich.
Yeah.
And it's a TV show. And it's comic books.
That's true. That's true. One of the moms gets arrested in Gossip Girl and she has to live in her mansion and she can't go outside.
Under house arrest with an ankle bracelet.
Yeah. I feel as though Lovely McGlade is a bit more of a...
Yeah, that's probably a little bit bigger than whatever happened in Gossip. What you do, shoplift some jewelry. So Moira just got a call from Malcolm. He's accelerating the timetable. They're going to take out the Glades tonight. And obviously he's accelerating the timetable because...
He knows that...
Because Oliver is on... Yeah. He's like, sniffing a little bit too close to the bomb.
That's bad. So this is cool that she steps up. I really didn't know what she was going to do. And I think this is just a really cool... I don't know. She just has this really interesting crisis of who she is. And I think that it's... Again, how do you deal with that? Thea's going to be in a really unique or interesting place, I think, next... season.
Yeah.
Because her mom is now in jail. Or
yeah, I think happen. Yeah, and I think, you know, I think we're going to see a move away from the mansion.
Yeah. Yeah.
If anything, I think Oliver might end up in the mansion by himself.
Oh, yeah.
And
Thea moving with Roy.
Yeah, and Thea and Roy be somewhere in the city.
Yeah. And they'll need a new place for their hideout. Maybe it'll become like a bat cave.
Well, yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking is that...
Because now that the mom is gone, then they leave them to do things.
But Oliver always kind of... I don't think he ever really had a mansion like Wayne Manor, I think he always had kind of like a... More loft. Of an in-the-city... loft and hideout.
Yeah, he would be weird enough. I don't think they need the mansion. I think that they've just used it as a place this year to work. I'd be interested in what they use. I think he might spend more time at Verdant next year. I don't really like Laurel in this scene. She seems very, very, very... juvenile when she plays off of him. Like, she seems very... I don't know what it is about this
scene. I think there's a bit... I think there's a moment here where we're supposed to feel like it's a bit of a... Not regression, but just kind of like... They're back into a comfortable scenario.
Right.
So she's lowering her defenses and going back to being that person right. that well, she was when she was with Oliver.
And she's wearing sneakers, if you saw from that up and down shot, which yeah. is something that she wore in the old, when we saw that flashback,
and,
right? But it's really sort of...
And a really bright green color, which to me signifies that, like, she's with him. Right? Like, I think they subconsciously, emotionally, we're supposed to be doing that math in our heads.
Yeah.
That she's wearing green, so now she's on the team, right?
Yeah, yeah. Man, we've talked about the costumes a lot in this show. I think
because
that's really
it's been,
cool.
It's
like,
been
it's
important.
Been really, there's really important details in this. They are just doing a great job. This was an odd shot that they did it twice. The, like, light in our face.
Yeah.
But we got it, that it was sort of this gentle moment, I guess.
I think there's a third time.
Oh.
The immediate thing that I thought when I was watching it was that she is the light at the end of his tunnel.
Oh, right,
he feels
yeah.
like he's surrounded by darkness right now, but his actions in the last episode sort of show us that he feels like there's an end to it, right?
Right.
He's wrong,
yeah.
as we know, because it's a, first of all, what would happen with this show?
Yeah.
It would just be a family, turn into a sitcom.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it's the, Superman calls it the never-ending struggle, right?
Oh my gosh.
So.
Tommy is going to pull apart Laurel and Oliver, not Oliver pull apart Laurel and Tommy. That is what's going to happen.
Oh, you didn't, you're just putting that together now that, like, there's
going
to be an issue next
season.
That is
going to be the issue, is that, like,
it's
Tommy,
her fault that he died, so she's going to have issues and get
and that, yeah, and that she's going to, like, he genuinely loved her, and that Oliver realizes that he's just not good enough because Tommy was the one that was there to save Laurel when he wasn't. OMG, this show is so good. Oh, Tommy.
So, Tommy, rather than clandestinely look around for information and try and figure out what's going on, he goes straight to his dad like a regular person would and says, Tommy, or Oliver said some stuff about you leveling the glades. I don't know what he's on. And to which Merlin goes, oh no, he's right. And here, let me play the voicemail for you and let you know why. And then this is heartbreaking.
It just,
that writing right there. Turn it off. Like, his reaction, not, it's not just a camera on him and, you know, tears or something, like single man tear or something.
Yeah.
Like, his reaction of, turn it off. I don't want this.
Yeah.
Do not put this on me. I can't handle what you're trying to do.
Yeah.
And then he just kind of swallows it and, like, just awesome performance, awesome writing. And
so
you just
sad.
See how evil Merlin's become, but for such justifiable reasons.
But it's just, he is so scary.
He's lost.
Like,
yeah, he's done.
Just,
like, he's gone.
Oh. He's, gosh, John Barrowman is just amazing.
And he's so scared. Like,
oh, yeah.
We're just, if you're not watching this with us, you're really losing a lot. But that scene was very, as much as, like, the dialogue was great and the performances vocally were great, visually,
it just,
John Barrowman loses it.
Yeah.
And I can't remember the actor.
Colin Mc something.
Yeah, Tommy just is, like, scared.
Yeah,
he looks legitimately frightened.
Yeah.
And it's just, it plays
just
so real.
Good,
that even though Malcolm might be a little bit over the top, a little bit arch, a little bit super villainy, it grounds it in that reaction of, like, whoa.
Yeah.
Like you've lost
crazy.
It. You're insane.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how to stop you at this point.
Yeah. Can we just give a shout out to how smart Felicity is for figuring this out, by the way?
Yes.
The whole, like, fault line thing, which is cool. So Thea, I feel, again, in this role, she saves Roy. I guess she is. She's important for Roy.
She has a part to play.
She's good. Yeah, that's true.
She will be Roy's Diggle / Felicity.
Yeah, okay, that's true.
Until Roy gets brought into the fold. Because I think most of next season, not most, but, like, the first half of next season is going to be Roy on his own, doing his own thing.
Yeah.
And sort of at odds with the vigilante until he gets brought into the fold.
Yeah, which would be cool.
Because it won't be worth it if they just bring him on the team.
They won't, and because the Glades is his, right?
Yeah.
So he will protect it, and that'll be a cool thing.
Yeah.
Because I think that Oliver will still be in this sort of other world,
yeah.
which will be an interesting dynamic between the two of them.
So this is the scene where Moira calls a press conference and confesses to being associated with this in order to try and save people's lives.
Yeah.
Which is sacrifice.
Yeah. And I
might have missed it. I think she might have said it, actually.
But this is great that I thought that they were going to cut out and weren't going to say Malcolm Merlyn's name or something.
Yeah.
But again, no, it's the whole thing, and it's legitimately just everything is out there.
And she names everyone.
Yeah.
Including Frank and Adam Hunt.
Yeah.
And except for those two extras that we never found out who they were.
The people in that circle, yeah.
Maybe they're those bad guys from next season.
Yeah.
One of them still likes. But I love this because it happens and we're shown that this is such a huge, momentous event in the series that we're going to touch on every character that we know.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We touch on Malcolm and he hits the desk and shatters it. We go over to Laurel, we go to Detective Lance, and then we're going to finish it off with Roy, sort of seeing the fallout of it.
This show is so good. I completely didn't listen to you for that last little part because I was fully watching the show. I was just watching Thea and Moira, and I was like, oh yeah, Roy lives in the Glades, and this is so I have no idea what you just said, but I'm sorry. This is great. Anyways, I'm sure whatever it was brilliant.
It was very insightful. You'll have to trust me on it.
I will.
And then we get the reveal of the gear, his dark archery gear.
Yeah. Does Tommy know who the Dark Archer is? Does he recognize?
I don't... Yeah, because it was in the news.
Right, yeah.
Right? That there was the copycat.
Right. Okay, so he sort of would be...
So I think that he probably just put it together.
Yeah. This is insane. He just uses this sort of machete thing to... I didn't know if Tommy would actually shoot him here. It was a little bit intense for me. And, you just don't know what... I just didn't know. And I thought that... I actually thought that Merlyn might kill him. But then I realized that he was...
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like, I thought for a moment that he might be so lost that he kills his own son.
Yeah.
And that there would be a big dramatic
thing,
conversation between him and Oliver about, you're so broken that you don't even realize. Yeah.
So this is brilliant, picking up the new bow. And they didn't...
The old bow.
They did the old bow. But they didn't set it up until this moment, right? We don't know what bow that is.
Yeah.
And it's brilliant because it's so connected to the... the island, which is great. Is he going to go after Merlyn to try to find the detonator? Or I was a little confused as to
because what this Merlyn, thing would,
that even if they disarmed the device, that Merlyn would still be able to set it off. Is that sort of what the thing was? Or
and to make sure that they sort of covered their tracks,
right.
You kind of you can't take out the bomb without taking out the person who put the bomb there in the first place,
true.
Right?
That's true. It's not a bomb, man. It's so crazy. It's weird. I love that we don't have to explain it. We're like science.
Well, it's not important, right?
Yeah.
It's just a seismic device.
Yeah. It's cool. And this is cool. You're not alone. This is, again, something that they've been setting up throughout this season, right?
I feel like they've turned Daigle into his own original superhero. He's not somebody that we know.
Yeah.
But... that's who he is, right?
Yeah.
Like he's not a superhero on the same level that Green Arrow is, but he is in the way that Steve Trevor is, in regards to Wonder Woman and that sort of thing. So,
cool.
He's definitely like he's more than a regular hero, right? Like he's somewhere in between hero and superhero, and I think I just like that. That's really cool because it's not something that I think we were expecting, and we want. Superhero team ups. Everybody always wants a superhero team up, but we already have one. We just don't know it.
Yeah, right? And it's really great that it's all the people in his life that are helping him become, because he still is the one that's responsible for all of this stuff happening. But everybody in their own right? Detective Lance and Felicity with the bomb, and then you've got Diggle helping him with Merlyn. But in the end, it really is sort of him defeating Merlyn and having to do that himself, which is interesting. I really like these phone conversations between the two of them. It's sort of like, I feel like Detective Lance is his Lois, which is really interesting.
A little bit.
It's...
So we talked over it. They came to the conclusion that Oliver couldn't go after Merlin by himself.
Right.
Which,
right.
again, against the cliches, yeah. they're being smart about it. Yeah. So what do? They bring in Detective Lance. Detective Lance is going to go after the device yeah. while they go after Merlin together yeah. because...
Yeah, it makes sense.
Oliver can't take him down by himself. We've seen that. Yeah. It's been proven. He can't do it alone.
Yeah.
He needs backup. So they're going to go together and...
I just think it's so cool that Detective Lance is like comes on board and understands that he yeah. can help in a really practical way, which is really cool. And we were worried, because that was the one thing that we couldn't really figure out next year. Or last year. Sorry, I keep getting distracted by the commercials when you're fast-forwarding through them, and I want to say different things, but... Anyways, so we're here with Roy and the Glades. And it's kind of this interesting perspective from inside the Glades. Do they all... They all sort of have something inside the Glades. So Roy lives in the Glades, and then Laurel works in the Glades, and Ollie's club is in the Glades, isn't it? Isn't Verna in the Glades? Yeah. So... As much as they sort of like devolved into chaos very fast.
Sorry.
I saw that sign too. I was like, pizza. These, I wonder if they used rain machines or if it was actually raining. Oh, that looks like rain.
It looks like a machine. I wonder where this set is.
Yeah.
I think that's
using the lot?
Yeah, that's a back lot.
Yeah.
I think it's the Watchman back lot.
Oh, nice.
The one down on Marine.
Cool.
But the Detective Lance is heading into the subway tunnels to...
Yeah. And you don't... That's what I like, too. They didn't really set up where or why he knew where it was, right? And then he knew it was where she died. I want to know what the second location was, which is kind of cool. Because he guessed the first location, and I wonder if the other one's going to be important as well. Which is kind of cool. So, that'll be interesting. These cuts in this episode, they just are getting flawless to the island.
Yeah.
Which I love.
So Oliver, well, they redirected the bomb and they redirected it back at the camp.
Yeah.
But Slade and Shadow were in the camp at the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Oliver sort of come back to the camp to see if
he has the bomb.
If they're okay. Yeah. And Slade is more or less okay.
Mm-hmm.
And healing very quickly.
Yes, yeah. Well, because he's really awesome.
But where's Shadow?
And so here, this is sort of a cool thing, is that Oliver gets, I don't know, this whole island section where he this is him becoming Green Arrow, or becoming who he is, right?
Yeah.
And this idea that what Fires explains here, that Oliver inadvertently becomes the downfall of this plan, or whatever it was, without even really meaning to, that he just has the ability to do that. And I think that that's a really cool thing in him sort of accidentally becoming a superhero, is that he didn't at all intend to do what he wanted to do. There's sacrifice again. Sacrifice your freedom for her.
Yeah.
So, again, in the island, one of the best... This is one of the most poignant parts, is that, yes, he is willing to sacrifice his freedom. I think that that's very interesting. And that's the first person he's ever killed with a bow, right? That's like the big...
I think so,
the big thing, that his first person is Fires, to save Shadow. So that's... I'm really interested to see how that plays out. I think that that's going to be a very, very interesting...
I think the thing that's really cool about it is that he thinks that he's doing the right thing. And he is.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think Fires is a bad guy. I think that's... There's no doubt. They were trying to start a war for profit, right?
Yeah.
And you know, the financial gain on somebody's behalf, on the behalf of the legs.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was definitely a bad guy. There's definitely bad stuff going on there. But that doesn't necessarily make Slade and Shadow
good guys. Yeah.
Or even Yao Fei, right?
Yeah.
Like, we still... You look at those characters, and they're still in a very gray area at the moment. We know that Deathstroke's a bad guy.
Yeah.
So we know that at some point, Deathstroke, that Slade is going to end up on the other side of this. Being with those two characters, and we know from the comics that Shadow's not a good guy either.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, is he out of the woods yet?
Yeah, no, he's not. Well, he's putting himself as... this is why he comes back a killer, right? He comes back a killer, not a superhero.
Yeah.
So he's becoming who he was. By the way, we've totally talked over the stuff with Tommy, which is nice. They had a little moment there. And then the reveal on... on Merlin in his sort of thing here, and they are both just getting their butts kicked by him, which I think is kind of interesting. Arrows don't shoot as well when you're at close motion.
I love that. That's great. His the throwing knife. I love that costume, the Dark Archer.
It's costume. Great. And this is what I love, is that they're sane, where he's like, don't stay here with me, go fight him, which makes sense. Because, and so we're glad this is actually Merlin in the mask. We were mm-hmm. worried about that before. Yeah. So.
Yeah. And I just love the juxtaposition of the way that the two of them look.
Yeah.
Oliver, his gear is very, like, minimal. Mm-hmm. It's very, like, tight.
Mm-hmm.
And it's green, right? Like, mm-hmm. it's got that green to it. So he's definitely pops against the dark backgrounds and the sort of the gold that they tend to do the night shots in. And then Malcolm's is much baggier
mm-hmm.
and heavier looking and more hardcore and intense. Mm-hmm. And he's got more gear on him, right?
Yeah.
So he looks more intimidating, but more encumbered as well. Which, when he moves quickly and is faster than Oliver, makes him that much scarier,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So it's just really smart stuff that they've done with the costume design to make that character that much scarier as a bad guy.
Yeah.
Like, even down to, like, his hood's a bigger hood.
Yeah.
His mask is a full mask,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
He's kind of got that ninja look to him.
Yeah. Just a much more intense character. Yeah.
So I think right before the commercial break, Detective Lance found the device.
Yeah. Which looked really cool. It was cool.
Yeah, and now Roy is...
Jerkwad?
Roy's playing the hero. I like this because the guy's like, you're outnumbered. He takes out the two guys super easy.
Yeah.
I love that move where he kind of grabbed the guy's head,
yeah,
jumped up, and then flipped him over him, like, used the momentum.
Yeah.
And then the guy pulls out a gun. I love this moment. And he goes, where'd you learn to throw like that? Because a beer bottle just hits this guy in the head. And he goes, I guess I just have good aim. And it's just like, oh, it was so good. It's just such a great moment.
Okay.
Because she's Oliver's sister.
She's speedy.
I think that they're hinting that she might move in a direction at some point. She's got a little bit of what Oliver's got in her.
Fun things. I like the ability that they're okay in sort of inventing characters in an interesting way. This is great. He learned, which is awesome. Yay,
yes.
Oliver learning that when you shoot him, he will catch it, and you have
fool
to
fool me once. Shame on me.
Yeah, which is brilliant. So, but that
can't fool me twice.
That Felicity can be speedy to Oliver, and that Thea could be speedy to
Roy,
and that they don't have to be exclusive.
And that Roy's not speedy.
Yeah, and that
even though Roy is supposed to be
speedy.
Exactly,
but that we can be okay having these different dynamics because we've created a world in which we can create a superhero out of Diggle. And, like, I think that the writers have opened it up enough that we would be all right with all of those scenarios.
And Black Canary, when was the last time we talked about Laurel becoming Black Canary? Cause, you know why? Because who cares?
Yeah, exactly. It's true.
Do we need her to be Black Canary? No,
we have enough.
And if they do
it
soon, it would be worse.
It would be worse.
They
there's
just
too much.
Leave it.
Yeah,
like,
there's too much. But we don't need Black Canary.
Yeah.
No, we haven't. You're right. We have not talked about Black Canary. So we're going to talk over one of the saddest moments of the whole show, obviously. Daddy, you're scaring me.
Because he can't stop the machine.
I know. Which is just... He's so smart, though, and, like, cool and collective. Look at him just calling his daughter to tell her, so I'm going to die, and you need to not let it ruin your life. And I just think that that's such a, like...
Don't do what I did.
Don't. It's just so practical and responsible, and he's just amazing. And I love him. Oh.
Well, hopefully he can be there for her after Tommy's death to make sure that she doesn't go down that dark hole.
She's gonna
but I'm
devastated.
Sure that he won't be able to stop her, and there will be a conversation about it.
Yeah.
Let's be really clear, though. Sarah's dead. Just the whole conversation's going on in the Facebook group and everything. Sarah's dead. If we learn anything from this series, is that dead... I think dead's dead. Like, well, except for Deadshot. But
in all fairness, we didn't see her die. We saw her fall into the water. All I'm going to say.
And then the boat exploded. No body, no death is the mantra, but...
Yeah. So this is interesting that she's getting mad at her for texting
and
driving.
Well, because there's also a PSA. I don't know. You probably didn't see it if you watched it on CTV, but if you watched it on the CW, you saw the PSA where
they were talking
Willa Holland did a thing of like, don't text and drive.
Oh, interesting.
Because there's a big initiative right now.
Oh,
and,
cool.
And we kind of just made a joke about it, but it is a very serious thing. Don't text and drive.
Pull over to the side of the road to check my text today.
Or just, you know, it can wait.
It can. It's good.
Yeah, that's really sad. But this is a great moment. He kind of leaned in and put his leg up like he was the girl kissing the guy.
Oh, look at his face. He's so sad.
But he's got to stay here and save that Translink bus.
Yeah, I know. That's what I saw. Vancouver buses. But he's saving the Glades. Like, that's his thing, which is really cool. Is that the clock tower in the background? There's like a... I felt like I saw like a flash of it before, and you only saw it from that one angle. But anyways. he really is just the defender of the Glades, and that's what he's like there to do, which is really cool. And we didn't really see that afterwards, right? We don't really go back to him, but he just stayed in the Glades to help, which was really cool. And that Thea is okay with her going away. So we've used Robert now twice as motivation for Ollie against here, right? That he really is.
Now he stabs himself.
Oh, what?
Yeah, he stabs himself in the chest in order to get to Merlin.
I did not see that. What? That's insane. Oh my god. Well, that's even more...
hardcore.
Yeah.
And then he just gets up.
Jesus. That's insane. Did he stab himself through the place where he was hurt? Like, he has a scar there, doesn't he?
I think so.
Right? Yeah. So that's interesting. Maybe he knows he has nothing important there and that it'll go away. And this is an intense face. Like, look at this. This is just... ugh. He's just such a good actor.
And he stops it.
Amazing. And we're all like, yay, triumph of good over evil.
Because this is a series where I think everybody watching was legitimately sitting there going, are they going to kill Detective Lance?
Yeah.
Are they going to level the Glades? Totally. Are they going to do it?
Yeah.
And then he stops it, and Merlin's been stopped, but then he's got the great, it's just...
redundancy.
There's one thing I've learned, it's redundancy.
And it's just brilliant because...
such good writing.
It just makes so much sense, and just Oliver realizing how smart he is, and it's so brilliant. Where is this other device? I want to know.
For a second, I thought it might be under Verdant.
In Verdant? Yeah, that's what I thought too. And I was like, oh my god,
that location kind of looks similar, so I was like, oh no, like it's...
Yeah. And so, they would have been placed on two opposite ends of town, sort of.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So that they would have both,
the two sides of... Yeah. Because you see it, and it's almost like there's almost like a line.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's kind of this interesting part that one of them was going to work.
This is amazing, though. Like, this... great. When people say this... See, this is the PSA she talks about.
Texting and driving,
It was really weird, though, because it started off as, like, really poignant, and, like, Crystal was in the room when it came on, and... she was listening to it and I was watching it, and it was like, what's she talking about? Is she going to tell us not to do or to be aware of or whatever? And then it was texting and driving, and it was like kind of a big build up for not that big of a deal PSA.
If you don't text it, just don't text and drive.
Yeah.
It's so silly. But this is, like, look at these effects. This is amazing.
But yeah, when we say that this is on the level of like the series finale of Smallville.
Yeah.
This is what we're talking about. Like, I mean, it's not, let's be honest, it's not the highest production value. It definitely looks like a TV show.
Yeah, but.
But it's an amazing season finale for a TV show.
Yeah.
Like, the production value for TV is pretty high.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
I think they spent a lot of money on this season finale.
Oh, yeah. So this is her friend. Is her friend back? Was that her friend?
Yeah, that was her
from
friend.
The first, which is kind of cool that people have been seeing. Like, Felicity, this is really cool that you could just see that she's...
I thought something was going to happen to her, too.
So did I. I thought that she was going to be dead, too, but this is great.
Well, she's not going to die because she was made a series regular.
But oh, yeah.
We knew Laurel wasn't going to die and that somehow that Oliver was going to save her, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But I think that, like, they played with that cliche
of, like this is brilliant.
Oliver's going to get there and he's going to rescue her because he hops on the motorbike.
Yeah.
Like, we cut right to him on the motorbike. And you're like, he's going to get there. He's going to save her.
Yeah.
And then what do we get?
It's just so brilliant that it's, and it's just, but I, oh.
And Tommy just comes out of nowhere because the second that something was happening in the Glades, you know that he started, or that was the second that he could get away from Merlin, right?
Yeah, and he knew
that he went there.
Yeah, and I love
to
him.
Her.
Oh, it's so beautiful, and it's just And he's just a regular guy that just came to help this girl that he loves, and he like lifts the concrete off of her and. Oh my gosh, and I'm right behind you, but why didn't he just run? I don't understand why he didn't just run. Oh, so sad. Anyways, this is heartbreaking. I would say that this was great what Laurel did. Wow, look at that building come down.
That building collapse, it definitely looked like CG, but it was really
But it was good.
It was really
It's a TV show. Like, this is a television show, everybody, that we are watching right now.
Yeah.
This is insane. And then, so it's Ollie having to save Tommy, which I just think is so...
Yeah.
Interesting. So what we're saying here is that Ollie can hear that Laurel is yelling for Tommy, right? That we can that he understands what he's going into. That Laurel's okay.
I don't know. No?
Or he just doesn't know what he's doing. I guess.
I feel like he got in there and he
just finds Tommy.
Yeah.
Oh, and this is the reveal, right? That you're like you think he's gonna save him, but he's got a bloody rebar sticking out of his chest. Yeah. Like,
yeah, he's
it's
done.
It's just ah. This world says she I don't think that we should talk over this part because they're just like so brilliant and like they've been friends for so long and they like genuinely like love each other and it's just a really cool thing.
It's good though that they had the moment, like he has the moment to apologize, and then Oliver says you know, like they figure it out, like they resolve it before he goes, right? So it, there's not that last moment, you know, the fight that they had hanging over them, or hanging over Oliver, and he has to deal with what the real sacrifice is, right? I mean, that's
really
what this
episode
is all about. I think if anything, when we're looking back on this series and the moment that defined him and turned him, like the moment he becomes Green Arrow as opposed to the Vigilante is this moment.
Yeah. And oh, it should have been me that's so
because
oh my God,
now he needs
so
to
sad.
Be a hero, right? Like he can't just be, it's not just about vengeance anymore.
Yeah. Oh, that's so sad.
Amanda's legitimately crying right now, so.
And then
just
look
so
at his
guys
pan
know.
Up. It's so, oh gosh. Because Tommy, I love
Tommy.
That
just
Tommy.
Looks amazing.
Everybody knows that I love Tommy. I talk about Tommy all the time. And that Tommy and Laurel. So no one can ever say Tommy and Laurel were meant to be together because they were meant to be together and I win and you lose, Mike.
That's not quite the way that it works. Okay. And then I'm going to stop it before go to the House Hunters before. You see any spoilers for Supernatural? Because Supernatural,
epic.
I'm just gonna tell everybody if you want something to catch up on over the over the summer, if you're not caught up on Supernatural, if you stopped at season 5 or if you haven't watched any of the series, most of it's on Netflix. So go back, watch everything you can on Netflix, and then watch the rest of the series however you feel
so inclined.
Yeah, so inclined, and get caught up.
It's on iTunes
because. The season finale, they set up something awesome for next
year. Really?
Nice. Yeah, I'm excited for next
year. Gosh, I need to catch up on that. I really do. But can we just talk about
Tommy
being
good.
Dead?
I think we're good.
Okay, are we done? I'm really sad. I don't like sad shows. But that was beautiful. That was a beautiful show. Well done, Arrow, for being epic and awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. I think, you know... A year ago, we were sort of hearing... I mean, it would have been a year ago that we heard about Arrow coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And CW announcing that as a series that was coming in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the first reactions were very much like, They already did Green Arrow and Smallville. What are they going to do?
Yeah.
How are they going to do... Like...
Yeah.
They already did it. And you're not using Justin Hartley. Like... Yeah. You're not just making it a spinoff? That just seems stupid. Why don't you just make it a spinoff?
No, don't just make it a spinoff. This is just so much.
But more yeah, than I don't think that wanted. I don't. Just, but I don't think that we could have ever guessed.
Yeah.
Back then.
Oh no.
How good this show was going to be,
mm-hmm.
and you know, when we decided to do a show, to do a podcast about Arrow. I wasn't sure what to expect, right?
Yeah.
And I wasn't sure if we would sort of watch it and then, you know, kind of give up on it 3 or 4 episodes
and just go,
this is a show that's better left to just watch it and discussing.
Yeah.
And even after the first couple episodes,
yeah,
you can go back and you can listen to us going, like, we were in, like, episode 3 going, like, well, they did this in the first episode and they did this in the second episode. But we have no idea if this is the kind of show that they're even thinking about
this
episode when they're writing the first episode.
Yeah.
And we were proven... I don't know if we were proven wrong, but I think that they proved to us that, yes, they are thinking about it. Yes, this is a show that cares about the intelligence of its audience.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's probably the biggest thing, is that they're making a show that I'm sure it appeals to everybody,
but
If you're a smart viewer, you can watch it and you can really appreciate the depth of the characters, their motivations, the way that the plot plays out, and being genuinely surprised on a regular basis, which not a lot of shows these days can do.
Yeah.
Without cheap tricks.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Yeah.
And they don't resort to cheap tricks on
and
this.
And by staying true to just the humanness of the characters and the decisions that they're making coming from a realistic place.
Yeah.
This is a show about superheroes, but it's not at all. It's a show about people, which I think is just the coolest thing. That we have these people where, I mean, basically everybody on the island, as much as it's Shadow and Slade and all these things, they're just people that are dealing with this sort of circumstances. And these people, and the Dark Archer is just this guy that lost his wife and became... Right? Like, it's just really cool that these people are all just acting from a place of realistic intention and reacting and responding in a realistic way to the people around them, right? Nobody got, like, retroactive amnesia on this season.
No one ever got hit over the head so that they didn't see all over.
Yeah, like, they're dealing with...
Well, okay, that's not true. Tommy was knocked out in the first episode didn't see Oliver, but kind of did.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, it wasn't the thing where, like, in Smallville, every episode somebody would get hit over the head and not see that Clark had superpowers.
But here, people deal with their consequences, and they are the driving factor, right? That's the thing with stakes that we've talked about before, and I haven't used it in a while, but consistency of character, I remember saying that before, that people are doing things for reasons and they're responding appropriately to the things that happen around them and they're not forgetting about them.
Yeah.
That Tommy held a grudge for a while, like, in a realistic way, and didn't let it sort of change who he was. He still had to react in certain specific instances to the people around him, but he didn't get to ignore it either, which was really cool. And just like, we're not going to get to ignore the fact that Tommy died. It's going to be a thing that Tommy died, right? Like, it's going to be this huge motivating force for a lot of things that are driving the show, and we're not going to forget that. I mean, the glades just got leveled. Like, these are all significant things that are important and done for reasons. It's not just that we're going into a completely new show next season. We're going into a show that's built on the foundation of the first one. We didn't really have, as much as we did sometimes have Monsters of the Week or Baddies of the Week or whatever, they were all for a purpose that is larger than the show itself. And it's just this really great, great place to be. And I'm just really, really looking forward to season 2 and everything that the show is going to bring with it. So... Oh,
yeah.
So great.
I think that wraps it up. I think that does it for us. You can wrap it up because I'm starting to lose my voice.
Oh, well, thanks for listening to us for this first season of Quiver the Green Arrow podcast. It's been wonderful talking to you. We will still be around on the Facebook page. Yeah. We'll let you know if we've got stuff upcoming. We're hoping to do a Google Hangout or maybe some other cool things this summer. So you will.
Yeah.
This will not be the last you hear from us before season 2. Of Quiver and of Arrow, obviously, that we're all really looking forward to coming back next season. So If you want to get a hold of us, feel free to email us over the summer. We will be checking our email, mail@quiverpodcast.com. You can also find us on Twitter @quiverpodcast and facebook.com/quiverpodcast, on which you can also find the link to the Facebook group if you want to have more of a conversation over the summer. I love it. People are posting on there every day. So if you're not on that Facebook group, yeah. I highly recommend joining if you just want to have cool conversations with people and post random things on there. I absolutely love it.
It's an awesome community.
Yeah.
And I think of everything, as much as the show was very surprising, mm-hmm. It was very surprising to have the community grow as quickly and to have so many strong supporters of Quiver right out of the gate. Because I'm not talking about like, oh, you know, here we are standing at the end of the season. We have all you great listeners. A lot of you guys have been there since the first episode.
Yeah.
And that, you know... There are weeks when we don't want to record, or there are weeks when I have a cold, or Amanda's busy with work, or whatever, right? Yeah. Stuff happens, life gets in the way. And I always say, you know, podcasting is podcasting, and real life comes first. Mm-hmm. But you guys have been patient with us, which is awesome.
Yeah.
And we want to do this.
Yeah, I don't want to disappoint you guys. Yeah,
because you guys are a really great community, mm-hmm. and there's really great conversation going on, and it's really cool that Arrow could bring everybody together like that. It's a really positive thing, I think. It's why the geek community, the geek/nerd culture, mm-hmm. is such an awesome culture to be a part of, because we come together because of a shared love for whatever, right? And so we're all here because we love Arrow and because we love comic book TV shows and genre TV and all that stuff. So huge thank you to everybody that's been supporting us, and
and thank you to the shows and the creators and the people that Stephen Amell getting involved with the community and us having genuine conversations with everybody that's a part of it, and the creators really being invested in keeping us happy as fans and listening, and I think being really responsive to the community. And it's just a really great show that I'm really excited to be a part of. We also will be announcing, we have contest winners in the summer too, I think, for some of the stuff that we've been doing for comics when they come out, and there's a lot of other stuff to keep you excited for Arrow. So, you know, catch up on some of old shows, go watch some new stuff, talk to us about it, anything Green Arrow related. Catch up on the comics. We've talked about Year One as well, if you haven't been reading those. So there should be lots to keep you tied over while there's no more Arrow for a couple months, but we will talk to you, and we will be here to have conversations throughout the summer. So thanks so much for listening, and... stay sharp, Arrowheads.
How does it feel to finish? I want to get this on a recording. To finish a season.
That's so cool.
Of a podcast.
It's so cool.
Like, you actually, you started it and you finished it. The whole thing.
Yeah.
Not just like one part of it or like a segment of it or the first half.
We did the whole
season. Or just getting the website up and running. The whole thing.
That's so cool. Complete I only missed season. One episode, too.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
And we had a special in there, which is cool.
Yeah.
Yay, Quiver, this is cool. This is going to be sad to not have us every week. Not only am I losing a show, I'm also losing a podcast for a whole, like, 4 months. This is,
we'll figure out stuff to do. Cool. I'm sure.
So cool.
Although I'm going to be busy with Rebels.
Yeah.
But.
Cool.